Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna. With joy in my heart, I want to greet all of you. I see devotees who are known faces to me and devotees who are new. Also, I see devotees who have joined us. I think here's one Sachi Sutta. Savya Sachin has joined us, and other devotees will be joining us throughout the week. Towards the end of the week, we will have a theater play where I feel many British Basis will join us. welcome to this seminar, which is called The Best of Prayers. I would like to tell you a little bit why I have chosen this seminar. A little while ago, I read in one book called Chaitanya Chandrodaya by Kavi Kanapur that there are two types of bhakti. One is with nectar and the other without nectar. And when I read it, I understood why I have personally been sometimes so dissatisfied in my life. I practice bhakti without nectar. For too long. Bhakti with nectar means bhakti which you perform with attachment to Krishna, and bhakti without nectar is when you perform this one of the 64 items of the bhakti process, the bhakti sadhana, but without attachment for Krishna. We just come from a one-week japa retreat, which was really a wonderful and very deep journey. And we all know, or got to know during this japa retreat, what it means to chant with attachment to Krishna, something which is called chanting with sambandha, with feeling a relationship. Or when you feel a relationship, you immediately are in ecstasy. Do you know the game called darting? These are something like little arrows which you throw into a central target. Yes, they are. Now, imagine you put in the target. There is a professional dart player who knows to throw his dart always in the center of the target. Imagine you would put the picture of his mother in the center of the target. Or even better, the picture of his beloved wife. Or even still better, imagine you put into the dart target the picture of his newborn baby. I can tell you, he would miss the mark. He wouldn't have the feeling to throw his dart into the eyes of his beloved mother or beloved lady or his newborn child, because he has a relationship to that person. If you would put another picture in there, maybe a picture of just a person who is unknown to the professional dart thrower, he would have no worries or no inhibitions to throw the dart right into the center and even throw it into the eye or the navel of that picture. No problem, because there is no relationship. When you feel relationship at this or sambandha, this simple thing changes your entire mindset and your entire behavior towards a person. So if you want to practice bhakti with nectar, if you want to practice bhakti with attachment to Krishna, you must somehow or other feel a relationship. As long as you don't feel a relationship with Krishna, your bhakti is cursed to remain dry, lifeless, without nectar, just going through the motions and the routines. Now, the question is, and this is the cardinal question of my little presentation today, and tomorrow and the other days, how can we enliven our desert, stone-like, wretched heart with feelings of attachment to Krishna? How can we do this? There are prayers by great devotees who say millions of sadhanas have failed to irrigate my heart and fill it with nectar. How can we put this attachment to Krishna into our heart? This will be the main question of this seminar. How to become attached to Krishna? Do you think this is a good project? Is it relevant? Or is it unnecessary to talk about this? It is not unnecessary. So will you therefore give me your full attention? Better you say, we will try. Because when you have no attachment, to hear about Krishna is sometimes... Hare Krishna. Not a pleasurable activity. Once a godbrother of mine, His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj, was asked in Africa how to become attracted to Krishna. And he had just returned from the journey. And he talked to us. When I was in Africa, I was asked how one can become attracted to Krishna. And my answer to the Africans was a question. How do you start crying? You start crying when you come into the association of other people who cry. We know this when we are invited to a funeral. Not one of our most favorite preaching areas, but also a very good free preaching area because people are receptive. You know, when one person starts to cry, the band is broken and everyone goes like, wah, crying. It usually happens also now in our temples when we make these condolence ceremonies, when one of our older devotees has passed away and one person starts to cry and it just spreads like fire on the others. So, Gaur Govinda Maharaj gave this answer to the Africans. He said, you start to cry in the association of other people who feel this emotion of crying and then it comes to you. So behind this infection by the association of the others is a deep philosophy which is the basis of this seminar. In this seminar, we will learn the best of all prayers, Kapanya Panjika. It translates as a list of requests to the divine couple. And it is prayed by Rupa Goswami, who's sitting in the forest of Vrindavan, crying intense tears to Krishna. He is, it's one of his last compositions, the Kapanya Panjika. And he opens the prayer. Oh, maybe he's out. Shanti, Shanti, Pravachan. So he opens his prayer in such a deep way. He says, "Now let me reveal the burning marks which my tears have left on my heart." Can you imagine when someone cries so much that the hot tears run into the heart? And then he starts his prayer. He's a lonely man. He's at the fag end of his life. He sits under a desire tree and he begins to reveal his heart. And all the intensity of the bhakti, which has been accumulated by Rupa Goswami, comes out of him like hot steam. The prayer which you learn is a volcanic eruption of feelings of attraction to Krishna. We will hear this, but before I will pour the lava over you, who are still quite sleepy and with cold feelings in your heart, I have to prepare you a little bit, because otherwise it will be too hot for you, this seminar. So let me first take you through a few steps of intellectual understanding why, in the association of others, their feelings come into our heart. I won't be too theoretical. In the Bhagavatam, there is a nice verse which says, "O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. This Bhagavatam emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadev Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including the liberated souls." So this verse, which is there at the beginning of the Bhagavatam to incite our motivation to regularly hear the Bhagavatam, tells us in effect that because the Bhagavatam has been touched by Shukadev Goswami, or has been is pouring out as a stream of nectar of his mouth, therefore the Bhagavatam has increased its taste. Now the logic of this verse, that if we hear the Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami, is Shukadev Goswami has experienced it. Jiva Goswami says, "The rasa of Bhagavatam flows like a stream from the mouth of Shukadev, as if he is a direct experiencer, because he is similarly identified with the experiences of the direct participants in the pastimes." Mark this. Please use a little bit of your sleeping brain. Shukadev Goswami talks about the subject matters as someone who experiences them. He relishes them. He realizes them. And when he speaks, it's not a mind product that he offers us, some mental idea and concept. No, it is something which comes from the deep chamber of his heart, the realization. And only subject matter, transcendental subject matter, which is realized by the speaker, will be able to move the heart of the hearer. When a realized speaker speaks the transcendental subject matter, at that time, something wonderful happens. That is, the heart of the audience is impregnated, almost like the womb of a fertile woman is impregnated in contact with a strong and fertile man. So this is the non-physical, the non-material, or positively, the absolutely spiritual transfer of Krishna consciousness, which takes place when we hear from a realized speaker. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives us an example on the negative side. I think you must all have heard that in our Bhagavatam philosophy, we are encouraged not to associate with men who are attached to women. To associate with men who are attached to women is even more dangerous than to associate with women. Why? Because the women might not have attachment in herself, but the man who has this blind attachment to the bodily curves of the woman. Those of you who are ladies, please translate it into the opposite terms. When you have attachment to a woman who is absolute crazy after muscular men, you know, that is more infectious than the contact with a muscular man who has no attachment in this sort. Why? Because when you have attachment to, when you have contact with someone who has attachment, then that quality of attachment which resides in the attached man's heart will go into your heart. This is the example which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses to make us poor attachment conditioned souls understand how it is so absolutely necessary to have contact with realized souls. I will read to you the verse which he uses. It comes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it's a quotation from 330 Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 31st chapter, text 35. Natatasya bhaven moho bandaschanya prasangata Yoshit sangha yata pungso yata tat sanghi sangata. Just as those who associate with persons attached to women are criticized more than those who associate with the women themselves, association with a person attached to the Lord is praised more and is more desirable than association with the Lord Himself. Have you understood this verse, or should I repeat it again? Maybe repeat it. Yes. Just as those who associate with persons attached to women are criticized more than those who associate with women themselves, association with a person attached to the Lord is praised more and is more desirable than association with the Lord Himself. To make it very simple, because some of you have just eaten the breakfast and have not taken a left reclining position, so they are digesting at the moment, as the blood is there. Because this is the principle of what we will do. We will associate with Rupa Goswami's very, very flaming emotions for Radha and Krishna in this prayer. So the principle is you obtain that quality which another person has. So when you have association with someone who is very attached to women, then you will be more liable to attachment, sexual attachments, than if you have association with women themselves. Because in the woman there might not reside that attachment at the moment, but in the man who is attached, that attached person, he's steaming with that emotion. So in the same logic, you should associate with devotees who are attached to the Lord, and this is more necessary than having association with the Lord, because you might not have attachment in that association. You might look at Krishna, or if Krishna is standing before us without attachment, if we have no attachment, we won't relish him. So almost like, if I have absolutely no thirst, this very nice tea which I have will be uninteresting to me. Only if I have thirst will I be able to relish this. Another example is offered in our scriptures. It is said, a man will attain the qualities of a person with whom he associates, just as a crystal takes up the color of the object next to it. Therefore, the wise person will take shelter of those who have qualities like his own for the prosperity of his family. When you have a crystal and you put a hibiscus flower, which is red, before the crystal, then the hibiscus flower will come into the hard crystal, although the crystal is so hard that you can, or a diamond, you could use the example, that you cannot pierce it. The red hibiscus flower will enter the crystal. So your heart may be hard. Your heart may be hard. If you have association with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, you will become impressed by their qualities. Who is the best devotee of Krishna? Giriraj Maharaj. So if you stay with us for 1 week here, next to Giriraj, you will be attached. How can we say the Giriraj is attached to Krishna? Well, an attached person shows some symptoms. And Giriraj has symptoms. You see the shrubs and the trees, his hairs are standing on end. He feels feelings of goosebumps and horripilation. And there are many fine stones which are soft as butter and contain the footprint of Krishna, because Giriraj has melted in ecstasy in the service of his Lord. Giriraj shows the feelings of deep anuraga to Lord Krishna, and just by staying next to Giriraj, doing Giriraj parikrama, glorifying him, we will, in the association of this devotee, feel something. You will be able to judge at the end of the week. You won't believe. It's amazing. So, I'm sorry. So, when we read prayers, by which have this powerful effect in Krishna consciousness, which have this powerful bhava or mood, at that time the mood in the prayer will infect or will touch our heart and move us forward. I have personally become aware of this technique. I want to give you a little bit my own personal background. In maybe 5 years ago, when I sincerely asked myself the question how my heart could be touched and transformed with feelings of love for Krishna, I must say I felt some deep sense of failure in my spiritual life, because so often I didn't think of Krishna, and so often I became irritated by the my outer environment, which as a person who grows older and more sensitive, one becomes a little bit more affected if one is not careful. So I sincerely desired to find something in my spiritual life which would help me to become more deeper in Krishna consciousness. At that time, I remembered a lovely scene which Srila Prabhupada incinerated in Paris. We had all visited Prabhupada from Germany. Prabhupada had one day not given a class in the morning, but it was announced that Prabhupada would give a special presentation. And we were all very curious. What presentation would Prabhupada give, which would be special? I mean, everything he did was special, but we all knew him only as a lecturer and as a singer of Jaya Radha Madhava. That's how I know him. So we came into this room and we were given sheets of paper, and then Prabhupada sat before us and he looked at us. I never forget it. He looked at us like every one of us. He looked and then he said, "Now I will teach you a special song." Wow! We were not prepared. Wonderful. Prabhupada sat down and he started to close his eyes. And he started to sing, "Krishna Kirtana Ganana Tana Faro Premam Ritam Munidi." And then he looked at us, and we were now supposed to sing this. It was a very difficult song. We were just transfixed, because the way Prabhupada had sung it was very special. He started to sing it, and then some tear came and he wiped it away. Another tear came and we just looked at him. "Sing?" We couldn't. So he went... I forget, because I was overwhelmed with the first song, first strophe, we say in German, first, what is it? Verse, yes. Somehow we learned it and sung it. It took 1 hour 45 minutes. It was very long, 1 hour and 45 minutes. Finally, Prabhupada was satisfied. And he left the room. He had read... I think Pradyumna read the translation to us, and I had wondered, why was Prabhupada so moved? Then later, I read how Prabhupada had glorified the Goswamis of Vrindavan. He has said that by taking shelter of the Goswamis, the obstacles on our spiritual path are removed. Huh? And he also said that we all follow the example and the guidance of the six Goswamis. And it took many more years for me to catch on some of the teachings in this song. But later I became aware of one other verse where the method of bhajan of the Goswamis was mentioned. The Goswamis were sitting here in Vrindavan and they chanted under the trees, they wrote books, but they also paid obeisances in a regular manner, sometimes 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 obeisances a day. They didn't do this only to devotees, they chanted to their obeisances to, they directed them to the Leela Sthanas, to the Leelas, to the associates of Krishna. We did this yesterday. We offered our obeisances to the Giriraj Govardhan Leela. And they chanted all these very powerful prayers. When you read the Goswami's literature, like for instance Stavamala and Stavavali, it's full of wonderful prayers which they chanted in between their jap, which they did. And these prayers, they are very, very powerful to control our mind and bring it to the subject matter of Krishna. And then to control our mind and then bring the mind directly to a transcendental subject matter. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami describes what happened to him in association with Rupa Goswami. He says in his prayer Abhishta Suchanam, Revelation of Desires, I pray that the wild horse of my heart may become like the Chintamani jewel horse of Srila Rupa Goswami, which fulfills my cherished desire by quickly bringing me to the service of Srimati Radharani, who is the beloved of the Prince of the Gopas. Let me make it a little bit more clear. At the moment, Raghunath Das Goswami says, my horse, my mind is like a wild horse. Have you ever had a wild horse in your life? You cannot ride on a wild horse. I had a horse called Max when I was a child. And this Max was impossible to deal with. At times, sometimes he was good, but when he was a wild, I still, when the man I can show you, my spine was almost cracked by Max. You can see the mark Max has left on my spine. He became crazy at one time. After another horse, I was just peacefully riding, singing happy songs as a child on Max's back, and all of a sudden he smelled another horse, a female horse, and he ran through the forest. I said, Max, I'm also here. Max didn't hear. And there was this one branch, and I couldn't go deep to avoid it, and dang, I came against it and fall on the... On this part of the spine, you can see still, it's almost broken. But we go on. This is sometimes what happens to our mind, isn't it? Wild horse, wild Max mind. The Max mind is going, feeling attraction to something, to material subject matter, and then zhoop, goes there. You can watch it when you see devotees chanting how their Max mind is sometimes taking them somewhere and then they crash from the transcendental platform down on the ground of the material platform. Today I said to one devotee who was tired, oh, if you have not slept enough, your mind will be a little bit uncooperative, and as a result, you will come on the mental platform. This devotee said to me, that would be very dangerous. He said like this, that would be very dangerous. I will never forget this. This is its effect. When our mind gets into the max mood and is attached, this is dangerous. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he prays that he will get a nice horse, the Chintamani jewel horse, a nice mind, by the mercy of Rupa Goswami. And a little later in the same prayer, he says how this came about, this nice horse, this nice mind in him. He says, because of Srila Rupa Goswami's efforts, my heart is now peaceful, controlled, able to know the nature of spirit, fixed in yoga, a good mind, huh? Attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now that I have attained Srila Rupa Goswami's smiling, nectarian, compassionate glance, my heart has become wild. By remembering the transcendental pastimes of Lord Hari. Now my mind runs to Krishna. It is a Chintamani jewel. It's no longer, it's a Chintamani jewel horse. It's no longer a Max wild horse. And it takes me to Krishna. So we will try in this little seminar to focus our, to come in contact with Srila Rupa Goswami's glorious poetry, or prayer. We will pray it, these prayers, and we will see how our whole personality will change, and we will become very, very efficient in our bhakti to contact Krishna. This is our project, and I wish you to stay with me. I will now make a little pause for you so that you could maybe rise a little, move a little, chant a little. And I request you to come back in 15 minutes. This would be, according to my wristwatch, 10 minutes to 11. We will also request one timekeeper. Who is a good timekeeper? I think our devotee, there was one, Harish. Is our Harish here? Or maybe his name was not Harish. Yeah, I thought of, your name is? Vital, not Harish. I'm sorry. Vital, you are a studied man. You can, you at the in 50 minutes, you can go with cartels and ring, which will be the bell sign to come. Please do come. Huh? Hare Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami ki. Jaya Jaya Giri Raja. Jaya Jaya Giri Raja. Jaya Jaya Giri Raja. Jaya Giri Raja. In the first session this morning, we heard that by association with the great devotees, their mood comes into our heart. This mood has been compared with a horse, we learned, which can carry us. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami gives the analogy that yes, now he at the present moment he has an unusable horse. We called him Max, the Max horse, the Max mind. He hopes that by hearing Srila Rupa Goswami's poets, he will change his mood, and his mood will quickly carry him to Krishna. There is actually an incident in Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's life where he was very, very disturbed by feelings of separation, and how he changed his mind when he read a composition. Now let me just ask one of you, because at the moment my memory might fail me. Purisham Prabhu, it was vice versa, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
Raghunath Goswami wrote this Kusum. At the moment, at a certain sign. Do we have them all here? Yes. Oh, good. Come here, Adipurush, because I want that this is given at a certain time. There was a time where one Goswami was so disturbed in feelings of separation that only by reading, so the other Goswami saw it.
Rupa wrote the Dun Kelly Chintamani to solve the
feelings
of separation of Raghunath.
Yes. Raghunath Goswami
wrote
Vilap Kusum Manjali. And in that poem, he described that he would only be able to live for 1 day or 2 days because of feeling the separation from Radharani. He said very openly, if you don't reveal yourself now, I will not be able to maintain my life. And Raghunatha Goswami didn't just write didn't express it like we express it when we say, if I don't get prasadam, I will die. No. He was very slim. He only ate or drank a glass of buttermilk. He was very frail, shaking, and crying, so much crying. He would do. So Rupa Goswami saw that he had to do something to change the mood of Raghunath Das Goswami, because everyone was highly concerned for the survival of Raghunath Das Goswami. Then he wrote a work called Dan Keli Chintamani. This is about the Dan Leela, where there is a lot of joking and hilarious dressing. Krishna dresses like a toll collector and establishes a toll house on Giriraj Govardhan. Rupa Goswami wrote a pastime which there's a lot of humor, not so much separation, and he gave this work to Raghunath Goswami to really change his mood, and I think in American slang English you would say to humor him up, so Raghunath Goswami has personally experienced the power of Rupa Goswami's realized words. I would like to speak a little bit about our author of Kapanya Panjika Stotra, and then we will quickly go into the prayer itself. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a description about Rupa Goswami. It is said that Rupa Goswami lived with Sanatan Goswami here in the Vrindavan area, and whenever any associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from his pilgrimage to Vrindavan, he was immediately surrounded by the other devotees in places like Navadvip, and there was only the first question was, how do Rupa and Sanatan Goswami live in Vrindavan? What are the news about them? Because Rupa and Sanatan Goswami at that time were the object of affection of the whole Vaishnav world. These were the questions. How are Rupa and Sanatan doing in Vrindavan? What are their activities in the renounced order? And how do they manage to eat? These were the questions asked. See, it was known that Rupa and Sanatan Goswami did devotional service for 24 hours of a day. Sometimes they would sleep 1.5 hours a day, or maximum 2, but very often they didn't sleep. They just performed their devotional services. And everyone wanted to know, how are they doing this? Yesterday, two days before yesterday, I met my friend. He is a devotee who chants 126 rounds a day, imagine. And there was a, and sometimes he goes up to 196 rounds a day. So I thought this 196 rounds a day is only possible for a parishad, a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya. You need a transcendental body, I thought. And I asked him, how do you chant such a number of rounds? And he told me that no, it's possible in this physical body to do it over a long time. So these devotees also wanted to know, how do the Goswamis do this? And when do they eat? And what is going on? And here's the answer they received. These brothers, Rupa and Sanata, actually have no fixed residence. They reside beneath trees, one night under one tree and the next night under another. And as far as eating, Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswami beg a little food from the houses of Brahmanas. When I first read this, I decided for 1 year to live also by begging in Germany. We went from one house to another and just said, we are very hungry monks and we try to live by begging, which was very difficult because these were not Brahmanas which we visited. So they opened their refrigerator, and you can imagine how much Wurst is in a German refrigerator. And I had to pick the cucumbers and the butter and the half full peanut things. I tried to do it. It's very difficult. Then, giving up all kinds of material enjoyments, Rupa and Sanatan take only some dry bread and fried chickpeas. My dear devotees, you cough because you don't take dry bread and fried chickpeas, but so much prasadam. Hare Krishna. They carry only water pots, and for their dress, they wear torn quills. They always chant the holy names of Krishna and discuss his pastimes. In great jubilation, they also dance. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis were dancing frequently. They engage almost 24 hours daily in rendering service to the Lord. They usually sleep only an hour and a half. Listen to this, an hour and a half. And some days when they continuously chant the Lord's holy name, they do not sleep at all. Sometimes they write transcendental literatures about devotional service, and sometimes they hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spend their time thinking about the Lord. So when the devotees got this information about Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they shook their heads and said, what is wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy? Chaitanya Rakripayane Tanha Kivishmaya. Chaitanya Rakripayane Tanha Kivishmaya. What is wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy? That was their response. So, when we will hear now about Kapanya Panjika, we will hear Rupa Goswami's writing. It is described that during the end of his life, when this work was written, Rupa Goswami's breath in the separation of Krishna was so very hot. When he wrote in this mood of separation, his mood was so much emanating from him that the trees would leave, would shed their leaves. In other words, his writing has so much power that it would move objects. It will certainly move us also. Don't worry. Now, before we get into this, I think you want practice now, isn't it? No longer theory. Should we dare to enter the ocean of the poem now?
Yes.
Then I will do my other theory just a little bit in the seminars, each time a little bit more. Tomorrow, when my session comes, I will speak about the structure of the prayer, but now we want to pray. I also feel like this. So Adi Purusha Prabhu will present to you your list of requests. It's the whole prayer which you will get now. My request to you is bring this always to the sessions, because we want to chant these prayers in Sanskrit.
Atavishayo pada padmeshu kripano jana tishtan vendata vikunye vigyatim vidadatyaso vendata vishayo pada padmeshu kripano jana.
I sincerely hope that we will have enough copies, but in case we don't have, no need to panic. I heard we have a good photocopy machine in Govardhan town, so we will make extra copies for you, in just in case.